Study finds fatigued ME/CFS brains unable to adapt to cognitive stress. By Court Johnson, August 15, 2024. It turns out that when healthy people do the same task twice, their brains use less energy the second time around. They've adapted to the task. The study found partial evidence that people with ME/CFS used more of their brains than healthy controls to complete the task. The major finding, though, was that their brains did not adapt in what seemed to signal that post-exertional malaise was present. Their brains used more energy, not less, to complete the second task. The study found partial evidence that people with ME/CFS used more of their brains than healthy controls to complete the task. The major finding, though, was that their brains did not adapt. In what seemed to signal that post-exertional malaise was present, their brains used more energy, not less, to complete the second task. Somehow doing the task the first time around made things worse. The authors proposed an inadequate activation of a calcium signaling pathway that increases blood flows to distinct parts of the brain was present, and noted that several Australian studies have found problems with calcium mobilization in TRPM3 ion channels in natural killer cells in ME/CFS. They didn't mention it, but the finding also appears to fit well with Mirth and Scheibenbogen's hypothesis regarding calcium mobilization problems in the mitochondria and blood vessels. They believe that the inability of the NAKATPase enzyme to remove sodium from ME/CFS cells causes the sodium-calcium exchanger to import rather than remove calcium from cells. The calcium buildup that results then impacts mitochondrial functioning and the blood vessels. Wirth and Lone recently proposed that dysfunctional TRPM3 ion channels are wreaking havoc not just in immune cells, but in cells across the body. They believe further investigations of this ion channel are crucial to understanding ME/CFS, and a blog on that is coming up. The authors of the present study did not mention energy production. One wonders, though, if the exertion of the first cognitive test might have dampened energy production in the same way that physical exertion does. If the authors are correct, then cognitive stress at least temporarily impairs the ability of the brain to speed resources in the form of oxygen in the blood to parts of the brain that need it, producing fatigue. That sounds like post-exertional malaise of the brain to me. This group has been engaged in a large study, and you can see the link for that study in the text version of the article, examining neurovascular coupling in ME/CFS from different angles. We should learn much more about that soon. BOLD MRIs sound like the ticket for diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome and long COVID. BOLD, or bold MRIs, measure blood oxygen levels, energy production, across the brain, and what could be more telling than that? Our brains are never always turned on. That would take too much energy. Instead, when a part of the brain is needed, say during cognitive activity, the mitochondria in that part of the brain take up more oxygen in the blood, quickly and efficiently transporting blood to the active region. Not only determines how well tasks are carried out, but also plays an important role in the energy economics of the brain. Sluggish blood flows result in the brain working over hard to carry out tasks. BOLD MRIs use blood oxygen levels to determine which parts of the brain are active. By having people with ME/CFS and healthy controls engage in a task and comparing which parts of the brain get activated, researchers can determine if the different parts of the brain are getting activated or not activated in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS. Past brain imaging studies indicate that people with ME/CFS have to recruit more regions of the brain than normal to complete cognitive tasks. This suggests their brains are less efficient and require more energy to get cognitive tasks done. The slowed processing speed cognitive tests have found in ME/CFS appears to make sense in this context. Inefficient ME/CFS brains would naturally slow information processing speed down, making it more difficult to follow discussions, retain information while reading, etc. Interestingly, IQ levels don't appear to be changed. It's the ability to process information. The study. The Australian, Swiss, and US study, called Absence of Bold Adaptation in Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, reviewed by Task Functional MRI, examined which regions of the brain light up during an initial cognitive test. Then it went further by doing a post-exertional malaise-like assessment, which brought to mind the two-day exercise test. They did a second cognitive test to determine whether the brains of people with ME/CFS had adapted properly to the first cognitive workout. It turns out that healthy people's brains learn from the first cognitive test and become more efficient during the second, i.e., their brains use less energy, or oxygen, the second time around. Citing deficiencies in patient selection in past studies, the researchers buttoned up their study nicely by using ME/CFS patients who met the Canadian Consensus Criteria, CCC, and even using sedentary healthy controls matched for size, age, and sex. Nice. They even used actigraphy to ensure that the HCs were sedentary. Several fatigue assessments, FSQ, parts of the DePaul symptom questionnaire, and depression anxiety assessments were used to determine if the brain imaging results were correlated with fatigue and or mood. 34 ME/CFS and healthy controls were included. A symbol digit modalities test, or SDMT, was used as a cognitive stressor. The SDMT assesses things like processing speed, attention, visual scanning, motor speed, and working memory. It's often used to detect cognitive impairments and neurological dysfunctions in diseases like multiple sclerosis and traumatic brain injury. Results. The idea that ME/CFS patients need to recruit broader regions of the brain during cognitive tasks was only partially confirmed. The within-group analysis found broader recruitment in the right dorsolateral prefrontal cortex and the left somatosensory cortex. The between-group analysis, the ME/CFS patients and the healthy controls, did not find significant differences in the number of brain regions recruited. The authors noted the high variability in the results, which is not unusual in ME/CFS. We can be a heterogeneous group, which would require larger studies to make sense of. They also questioned whether the cognitive test was difficult enough. Adaptation was another and potentially more important story. Increased activation of the motor, sensory, and cognitive cortices in ME/CFS made sense given the movement, sensory, and cognitive problems found in the disease. The increased activity during the second test indicated that the ME/CFS brains did not adapt to the first cognitive test. Instead of becoming more efficient and using less energy during the second test, their brains used more energy during the second test. This is the same pattern found in multiple sclerosis and traumatic brain injury. The authors highlighted problems with energy, not a lack of energy, but the strained energy resources and fatigue caused by the inefficient allocation of blood to the active brain regions. Quote, the lack of BOLD adaptation resulted in inefficient energy economics, which in turn led to the fatigue symptoms experienced by ME/CFS patients, end quote. Why was this happening? The researcher believed that the post-exertional malaise or fatigue they found during the second test, they did not mention post-exertional malaise, was caused by inadequate glutamate activation of a calcium signaling pathway that increases blood flows to distinct parts of the brain. They also mentioned secondary metabolism-driven feedback. The glutamate pathway opens ion channels that allow calcium ions to flow into the neurons. The increased ion levels trigger the production of nitric oxide, which dilates the blood vessels, allowing more blood flow to the area. They believe the inability to get enough calcium into the neurons impeded their ability to deliver enough blood flows during the second test. The authors noted that this fits in well with studies from the Griffith Group in Australia, which found that damaged TRPM3 ion channels are inhibiting the calcium mobilization in natural killer cells in ME/CFS. The finding also appears to fit well with Wirth and Scheibenbogen's hypothesis regarding calcium mobilization problems in the mitochondria and blood vessels. They believe that the inability of the NAKATPase enzyme to remove sodium from ME/CFS cells causes the sodium-calcium exchanger to import rather than remove calcium from the cells. The calcium buildup that results then impacts mitochondrial functioning and the blood vessels. Wirth and Lone recently proposed that dysfunctional TRPM3 ion channels are wreaking havoc not just in immune cells, but in cells across the body. They believe that further investigations of this ion channel are crucial to the understanding of ME/CFS. A blog is coming up. The idea that problems with neurovascular coupling, the inability to quickly move blood to the areas of the brain that need it, are causing problems in ME/CFS is not new to the field. Altered cerebral blood flows were a main feature of Renz-Polster's hypothesis that microglial and glial cell activation may be producing problems with neurovascular coupling, as well as reduced blood flows to the brain, raised intracranial pressure, and more. The authors of the present study did not mention energy production. One wonders, though, if the exertion of the first cognitive test might have dampened energy production in the same way that physical exertion does. More coming. If the authors are correct, then cognitive stress at least temporarily impairs the ability of the brain to speed resources in the form of oxygen in the blood to parts of the brain that need it, producing fatigue. That sounds like post-exertional malaise of the brain to me. This group has been engaged in a large study examining neurovascular coupling in ME/CFS from different angles. We should learn much more about that soon.